This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL.
Next up, Noel Barry-Mertz is joined by Dr. Greg Stone, Professor of Medicine at Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons and Director of Cardiovascular Research and Education at the Center for Interventional Vascular Therapy at New York Presbyterian Hospital and Columbia University Medical Center in New York. They cover COAPT, a randomized trial of transcatheter mitral valve leaflet approximation in patients with heart failure and secondary mitral regurgitation.
Greg, welcome to AXL.
Thank you, Noel.
So give us some background. We know the CLIP works for other types of mitral regurgitation. Why this trial?
Right. Well, you know, patients with heart failure, obviously, this is one of the most prevalent cardiovascular disorders we have, the number one cause of admissions, resource consumption, et cetera. And patients with advanced heart failure have few therapeutic options. Heart failure medications and cardiac resynchronization therapy in some patients are effective, but the mortality rates and heart failure hospitalization rates are still high and quality of life can be very poor.
Readmissions cost
yeah, is huge. And patients who have severe underlying left ventricular dysfunction can develop mitral regurgitation with a relatively normal mitral valve because the dilatation of the left ventricle causes apical and lateral displacement of the papillary muscles that pulls on the leaflets, and they just can't close. They can't COAPT.
They don't get close.
Right. So they get MR. And we've known for a long time that such secondary mitral regurgitation, because it's secondary to the underlying bad LV, has been associated with increased mortality, heart failure hospitalizations, and reduced quality of life. But we've never known whether it was just a marker of an underlying bad left ventricle, which is what many or maybe most heart failure specialists had thought before a few days ago, versus whether the extra volume overload that the mitral regurgitation causes contributes then to the poor prognosis in these patients.
And a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle, exactly. And surgical studies, you know, these patients are elderly, they have multiple comorbidities. Surgery had been very high risk in these patients with a lot of complications. And long-term outcomes, although there had been no randomized trials, comparative studies had not suggested much of a benefit. So the standard of care is really just optimize their heart failure meds and use CRT if you've got a wide left bundle, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And these patients have very high rates of death and heart failure hospitalization. So we know that we have the MitraClip, which is approved in the United States for primary or degenerative mitral regurgitation, Barlow's disease, prolapse, in patients who are inoperative or at very high surgical risk, because surgery is curative in that condition and better than the MitraClip. But for secondary MR, we know that the MitraClip is very safe and it will work in most patients. And the experience has been increasing over the 10 years or so it's been available. So we designed the COAPT trial, which was the largest mitral valve randomized trial ever performed. 614 patients at about 80 sites in the United States and Canada. And we took patients with underlying left ventricular dysfunction, ejection fractions 20 to 50%, who had severe echo core lab verified secondary mitral regurgitation, either on an ischemic or non-ischemic basis, who had basically been tried on all guideline-directed, maximally tolerated doses of heart failure medications and CRT and revascularization if appropriate, and still were symptomatic with New York Heart Association class 2 to 4A symptoms.
Very sick population.
Very sick patients. And we randomized them one-to-one to continue their best medical care versus the best medical care plus the MitraClip.
Mm-hmm. And?
So our primary endpoint was all heart failure hospitalizations through 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we found that the MitraClip reduced the rate of heart failure hospitalizations by 47%.
Dramatic.
A dramatic reduction, with the benefit emerging almost immediately from the decrease in volume overload.
Within 30 days?
Actually, within about a week.
A week. Oh, wow.
A week. I mean, the curves initially just spread dramatically. And the MitraClip was safe. It easily exceeded the pre-specified performance goal of device complications. But most impressively, or even more impressively, all-cause mortality was decreased by about 38%, or about 17 of 100 patients, from
Amazing.
46% to 29% at 2 years.
So your number needed to treat?
So the number needed to treat was 3 patients to prevent 1 heart failure hospitalization.
Fabulous.
And 6 patients to prevent 1 death. And interestingly, the mortality difference predominantly started to emerge after about 9 to 12 months. Unlike the heart failure hospitalization, where the immediate reduction in volume overload led to patients feeling better and not having severe exacerbations requiring hospitalization, they needed some prolonged effect of durable reduction in volume overload for the ventricle to start recovering, and then you saw the mortality curves separate, and they were continuing to separate at 2 years.
You wonder if those were more of the ischemic cardiomyopathies.
Well, that actually, interestingly, the benefits were very similar and consistent in almost every subgroup we looked like.
Both groups.
Men, women, younger, older patients, ischemic, non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, low and high surgical risk patients.
Good therapy.
Low EFs, higher EFs, et cetera.
Amazing. All right. So this is really earth-shattering in some ways for this end-stage disease. Where do you see this of relevance now to practitioners? What slice of the pie of all of the heart failure that we see with mitral regurgitation, where's the relevance to the populations we serve?
Well, it's a great question. It's estimated that there's somewhere between 5 to 10 million Americans that have heart failure. You know, of those, probably 40% have mitral regurgitation. Of those, probably 10 to 15% have severe mitral regurgitation. And it's been estimated that you've got to be anatomically eligible to be closed by the mitral clip. You have to have a good experienced operator to do this. So it's been estimated that this probably applies to several 100,000 patients per year in the United States, and obviously maybe 2 to 3 times that many people globally. But we want to emphasize this is not for everybody. Patients with 1 more moderate degrees of mitral regurgitation may not benefit. End-stage patients who are awaiting transplant and are bedridden, we didn't test those patients. Patients with markedly dilated left ventricles that just can't recover, we excluded those patients. And importantly, you know, this is a disease where heart failure medications can improve prognosis. And we believe very strongly that all patients should get a real maximal attempt at all highest tolerated doses of all guideline-directed medical therapies and CRT if appropriate, before being referred for the mitral clip.
Mm-hmm.
But for those patients, this can be a life-saving technique and add tremendous quality of life back, improve exercise tolerance, and keep them out of the hospital.
Do you think this should be a center of excellence right now, meaning you have the heart failure people, you have the imaging, and you have the expertise?
Yeah. It really requires a heart team, just like TAVR, but it's a slightly different heart team. We need heart failure specialists, and the country needs more heart failure specialists, but at least cardiologists that really care and are knowledgeable and expert in heart failure. We need superb imaging. You can't do either the procedure or even accurate diagnosis of identifying the right kinds of patients in terms of severity of MR and eligibility for the mitral clip without great imagers.
Echo,
exactly. Right now, it's all echo. And we need, of course, excellent skilled interventional cardiologists who know how to do the mitral clip and occasionally surgical backup, although this is a very safe procedure.
Very exciting. Congratulations on a great trial, and thanks for sharing with Axel.
Thank you, Noel.
This is Alfred Beauvais, editor-in-chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.